Hi, I'm Annette Rubry from the Knowledge Centre, and today I'm talking to Dr. Ben Richardson, who's a Leverhulme Research Fellow in the Department of Politics and International Studies at Warwick. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Perhaps you could start with just telling us a little bit about your research.
Well, my research is in the politics of sugar, and I did my PhD on trade politics because there was a liberalisation of a lot of sugar markets happening throughout the world, and I was interested in why this was happening. And then my subsequent research has sort of followed on from that. So yeah. I did a one-year ESRC fellowship looking at different investment policies that have followed from the liberalisation of markets. So a big British sugar company called British Sugar is investing a lot in Africa at the moment, and Tate and Lyle, another famous UK sugar company, is getting involved in ethanol, which is sugar biofuel. And the one I'm on now, the Leverhulme, is following that down a little further to look at what's happening on the ground in terms of how sugar's produced. So while the industry is growing worldwide, there's quite a lot of problems, a lot of which has been in the papers recently. Problems of expropriation, which is land grabbing or taking the water that local people need. There's problems of exploitation linked to slave labour or long and arduous working conditions. And there's also a problem of exclusion, which is sort of very capital intensive mode of production, and really there's no jobs, even though the industry is growing. So I've been looking at three different initiatives which have tried to address some or all of these problems and try to find out, you know, how well they're doing, really.
And what got you interested in this area in the first place?
Well, it was chance, really. I've not really got any kind of intrinsic interest in sugar. But when I was choosing my, looking into my PhD, when I was choosing my topic, there was a case about the EU's sugar regime going through the World Trade Organization at the time. So it was quite a topical and high profile case, which I wanted to study for that. And then I really did sort of fall in love with it from there, and I got sort of quite interested in sugar cane and how it's produced in all the different countries. And I found out there's about 100 million people linked to the industry in some way. Either they're farmers, or they work in a factory, or one of their family members is linked to the industry. And it just made me realise how important these agricultural industries are to poor people.
Yeah,
and the development of poor countries, really. So for that reason, I really sort of got into it.
It's a very far-reaching area, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it spills out into all different ways, and also not just on the production side, but on the consumption side. Obviously, there's billions of people who eat sugar, and you know that has a lot of impacts in terms of dietary and health policy. And now, as sugar's being used to substitute for oil.
Yeah.
You know, when we fill up at the petrol station now, we're putting sugar cane in our cars, only a small percent. But, you know, it's already happening. And, I mean, that's such a huge market, the oil market, that I just think the ramifications for global agriculture and global climate will be colossal, really.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a little bit about your research methods. I know that you've been out to various countries. I'm really keen to ask you about that, what it was like going out and seeing these sugar plantations.
Oh, just a game changer for me. I mean, when I did the PhD, you know, I did field work, but it was in the sort of global power centres, really, you know, in London and Geneva, where the World Trade Organization is, and in Washington. And I was always interested in development, but it's not until I went to Zambia and then latterly Dominican Republic and Trinidad in the Caribbean that it really impressed upon me just how difficult it is to understand how different cultures and different economic systems, political systems work from a desk based in Warwick. You know, it's just it was so great going out there and just speaking to people and just seeing that they're very knowledgeable, you know, about the industry and international politics and how they link together. And and it was fascinating for me interviewing people. I just learned so much. And I felt embarrassed passing myself off as an expert, you know, because when I go and spoke to, you know, people who work in the industry at all different levels, you know, they just know far more than me. So it was, it's kind of humbling in a good way.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds amazing. How do you see your research fitting into to your discipline as a whole, the sort of development of the social sciences?
Well, there's a book out a couple of years ago by someone called Nicola Phillips in the field of international political economy. The title of the book is Globalising IPE. And her argument is that for too long, scholars in IPE and arguably the social sciences more broadly have been a bit too focused on the power centres of the world economy, which, you know, the PhD I was exactly guilty of as well. And her call to arms is, you know, we need to study different states and see how things work when you stand in different places, you know, when you go to different countries and you think from the perspective of a marginalised person or a poor person. And so I really want to kind of tap into that research agenda and try and help do that. But also, I suppose, I see my research as trying to reclaim a bit of a central tenet of international political economy. A well-known scholar in the field who was at Warwick University briefly, called Susan Strange, her kind of animating question, as I saw it, was who benefits? She thought it was important to study political economy to find out who gains and who loses from the way distribution of wealth is structured. And I just think that's so important to ask, you know, not just how things happen and why they happen, but who gains and loses from it. And, you know, from the study I've found, there's a lot of people losing in the sugar industry at the same time as there's a lot of people winning big, you know, even in developing countries like Brazil. You know, you've got a lot of millionaires emerging at the same time as you've got a lot of peasants and workers losing their land or their jobs. So it's that inequality that I really want to flag up again. So, yeah, a point of departure and a point of recapture, I suppose, yeah.
That's marvellous. Thank you. And how do you see your work developing in the future?
In a couple of different ways, really. I suppose, substantively, I've become more and more interested in what they call the bio-based economy. This is what I alluded to earlier, where you use different crops like sugar cane, but also palm oil and corn and wheat, and you kind of boil it down and you can use it to replace oil and also oil-based products like plastics and different chemicals. This is kind of seen as a real growth area for the UK. But I'm kind of interested in taking a more critical perspective and asking, where's this stuff going to come from? And again, who's going to benefit from this industry? Because there's a lot of biotechnology companies involved, manufacturing companies, different sizes. There's a lot of questions being asked about, can we get enough feedstock, enough kind of agricultural raw material to really phase out oil and move to a kind of renewable economy? You know, there's a lot of questions being asked. So that's the substantive part. But I suppose in terms of trying to make a contribution, I'd quite like my work to become a bit more policy relevant and try and, as hard as it is, come up with some recommendations, because people always say, oh, you know, what you've found seems really interesting, but so what? What do you expect people to do about it? You know, it's raising a lot of questions and not giving any answers. And as hard as that is, and reluctant as me and a lot of other academics are to try and do that, I think it's important to try and lay out a little bit of a roadmap for where we as the UK, or even we as a global economy, should try and move things.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Ben. That's very, very interesting. I think that's about all we've got time for. So do come back and see what we're up to on the Knowledge Centre, as we'll be updating the site regularly with the latest research and learning materials.